fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here today again with very good friend John Kazanjian. John is a local businessman here in Ann Arbor. He runs a successful business called John's Pack and Ship. A little commercial there for you, John.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Good to have you back.
It's wonderful to be here.
We're talking this week about a number of things. One of them is the ministry that John and his wonderful wife, Michelle, have gotten into over the last number of years called Unbound. Unbound is really a prayer tool to help people move from various forms of slavery or bondage or struggle into greater freedom as sons and daughters of God. And we began to talk about it yesterday. There's just five keys to this prayer model, and John's really become, I wouldn't say an expert, but he's just learned a tremendous amount, and God's using him all over the place to touch people, you know, lay people, priests, people here in the States, and missions in Africa and Turkey and other places. And I'm sure he never even dreamt about that happening, but here he is, and that's beginning to unfold. We ended up yesterday's program talking about the second key. First key was faith and repentance. Second key was forgiveness. We hadn't completely closed on that, but I wanted to just, John, ask if you wanted to continue to pick up there, if you had anything more to say about that and how to help people.
There's a quote from Sister Bridge McKenna, who had been so just a profound healing ministry for years and years. And somebody asked her at some point, you know, what part forgiveness took in healing. And her answer was, at one point she thought that something like 85% of healing began with forgiveness. And she said, but now she's had a lot of experience in healing, and she's really decided that it's more like 99%.
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah. And when I hear about that, I think that's really the healing that needs to take place in our souls. That's the healing that needs to take place in order to move us from the place of bondage to freedom. People don't realize, and I didn't realize, how much the unforgiveness is a barrier. And when I talk to people, I say, look, there are lots of barriers in your life. There are lots of ways in which the enemy has a plan for your life, and he's trying to prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. And we're going to talk about all those. We can talk about loneliness. We can talk about anxiety. We can talk about all the fears that we can have. We can talk about addictions. We can talk about all these things. But the number one thing you really need to think about is, who do you need to forgive? And sometimes people think that if they forgive that person one time, it's enough. I've forgiven my dad. I went and did that. It was 15 years ago. It's when I gave my life to the Lord. I forgave him for all he did, and I moved on. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But the problem is that in order for those wounds that are in the middle of your heart, the core of your being, to get access to those wounds, it's like your heart is an onion and it needs to peel away. And that crustiness is the first layer, and the Lord's helping you break those layers away. And the way that he's softening it is through forgiveness, through tears, through recognizing that the things that have happened in your life have been very damaging. And the people that have hurt you badly. And look, I've forgiven my father thousands of times. And it sounds like this. I'll say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for his alcoholism. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for the times he came home and I was asleep and he started yelling at my mom and I woke up and I was afraid. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for the time I saw him hit my brother and he flew across the room. And you can hear from the tone of my voice, even saying those things right now, even though I've forgiven my dad 100 times in that same way, they still have an effect. They have an effect because there's these wounds in your heart that God needs to deal with. And the way he deals with them is through letting go, is through forgiving. It doesn't mean I'm going to forget what my dad did. It means I'm going to remember in a different way. I'm going to remember with pity. I'm going to remember with a sense of giving him over to the Lord. It impels me to pray for my father. You see, and when you pray for people, it's very hard to hold on to anger and bitterness and resentment toward them. And those are my enemies. Now, I could just say, hey, my problem isn't unforgiveness. My problem is anger and bitterness and resentment. But that's not true. You can hear it. The problem starts with getting control of who it is that you're having a hard time forgiving, who you're holding back mercy from.
It's interesting. As you know, over the years in our work in Renewal Ministries, we have country coordinators like you, people working with us, with the church on the ground in countries all over the world. This last year, we did 41 international missions on 4 continents. That wasn't just a commercial. That was just, you know, to kind
and
of
I've
give
gotten
some
to go to do some of those, and yeah. it's fantastic, and everybody right. should come with us.
But, yeah. You know, I often ask when we have our annual meeting, what were some of the biggest obstacles you found as you ministered to the church in these different parts of the world that are holding back the mission of the church or, you know, keeping the church divided and broken and that kind of stuff? And to a person, the leaders always come back and say, forgiveness, the lack of forgiveness, unforgiveness is the biggest obstacle because it builds walls. It hardens, it kind of hardens us because we feel like we have to protect ourselves. Sometimes we don't want to forgive because we feel like, sometimes I don't want to let the person off the hook, but I feel like I have a certain power or something to protect myself if I don't forgive that person. And forgiving makes vulnerable to right. being hurt again. And so I don't want to do that. I don't ever That's want right. to be hurt again, so I'm going to protect myself. And then here's Jesus saying, I understand. I understand how you feel. I understand why you're there. But I'm here now, and I'm with you. And you don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Don't be afraid, but trust what I'm calling you to do. Trust what I'm right. inviting you to do, and that will lead you to freedom, and I will be with you. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt again, but he's everything you're going to need no matter what circumstance you go through. Yeah. John, what if the person that's hurt you is no longer alive? What if it's a person you can't really reach? And if you can reach them, are you supposed to go to them and forgive them, mm-hmm. or... is that part of what this prayer is about?
Sure, yeah. Handled? Well, Peter, I think my favorite talk in a conference that we do about conferences on forgiveness, and I call it the Forgiveness 15, the 15 reasons why we've heard that people don't want to forgive.
Oh, yeah.
And I go through each one and I give examples. I used to look for examples from the lives of the people that I had prayed with, that things that they had told me. But as time has gone on, I have figured out that I have used all 15 of them myself.
Sure.
And I can now give examples from my own life of the reasons why I don't forgive, as opposed to this person told me or that person told me. When I give the talk, I say, just think of one or two of them for now. I would say a big reason, and this goes back to the repentance and faith one, is a lot of people don't realize how much they've been forgiven.
Yeah.
They really don't see, and that comes to like, wow, the Lord said, forgive them for they do not know what they do. From the cross, he said that. That's where the power to forgive comes from. He's the one that's going to give you the power to forgive. And if you don't recognize how much you've been forgiven, you really have a hard time. You see, we can judge others very quickly. We have a hard time judging ourselves. We tend to be much more lenient with ourselves than we are with others. And if you can spend some time just thinking about what you have done and what the Lord is forgiving you and that there was nothing you could do, you were without hope, Paul says. You were without hope because there was nothing you could do to make up. There was nothing good enough you could have done to win your salvation. But God in his mercy came to you. He came to you and he forgives you. And all you have to do is say you're sorry. So if you can't get people to do that first key of repentance and faith, that's a big one. Once you get them there, then all of a sudden it softens the heart and people are saying, oh, I want to be measured in a different way. I want to be measured with a merciful measure.
Yeah, and it's such an excellent point you make as you're talking. I'm just getting this image in my mind of that first key is the key of really deepening our relationship with Jesus. And when you know how much you've been forgiven, as you're saying, because all of us have been forgiven. I mean, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Yeah. And his mercy toward us is great. He's giving us a kingdom, we who don't deserve it, the point that you're making. Then when we know that, we look at him and we say, how can I please you? What can I do? What do you want me to do? What's mm-hmm. your will, Lord? How can I extend what you've given to me? And then he's going to bring it home, and he's going to say, I want you to forgive mm-hmm. your father. I want you to forgive this person. No, but I... Trust me. This is important for your freedom. This is important. This is my will. This is yes. the Father's will. I want you to work with me and trust to build unity in my mm-hmm. body. I want to bring healing, that kind of thing. So... there we go. It's just such a wonderful image, and it's really trust in the Lord, isn't it? It's coming out of that trust in the Lord and obedience to his command.
And what you said, Peter, really reminds me so much of like when we sit down to pray with somebody. Oftentimes, yes, you need to explain some things to them, but most of the time is, I just need somebody to listen to me. I just need somebody that I can sit down with and tell my story to. They're going to listen to me in a non-condemning way. They're going to listen to me in a merciful way. They're not going to judge me. They're just going to listen to me and love me. And I teach my team and I try and practice myself all the time. When you sit down with somebody to pray with them, the main thing you're doing is listening to them and loving them. And when you do that, people feel safe and they see that you're not condemning them. You're not trying to teach them why they need to forgive necessarily. You're just proposing to them and saying, this is for your freedom. This is what the Lord's asking you to do. Why don't we try and do it together? Would you do that with me? People have been so hurt, Peter.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. I mean, that's the one school I've gone to. The big school I've gone to is to sit down with people and pray with them. And it's hard work. It is really hard work. And for some of us, it's very tough because we love to talk and we don't like to listen. We like to be the one that's out there teaching and explaining and helping people understand. And when you sit down with somebody, you need to listen to them. And you need to listen to them with a heart of love. And when you do that, people feel free and they feel freer to say what's going on. Do you understand what he did to me? Do you understand that they've never repented for what they've done? Do you understand that he denies that he ever hurt me in the first place? Do you understand that I'm going to have to go back to him tomorrow and he's going to hurt me again? When you hear stuff like this, it really breaks your heart. And you don't have any condemnation in you. You just say, yeah, I hear you. That must be very difficult. But look, the Lord says we need to do it, and we can't do it without his help.
And I think a key there is to understand that Jesus, in this process, is helping us take authority over our lives in him, and that we don't have to live as slaves to our past. You know, our history does not determine our destiny. We have a new destiny now. We have a new life in Christ, and following him is that road to freedom. So we've talked today, we didn't intend, we've talked almost the whole time about forgiveness. So the first key is faith and repentance and faith. Second key is forgiveness. So as you lead somebody into that praying for forgiveness, you gave an example a minute ago in your own life, just simply, what does a person say? They come to the point and say, I want to forgive, what should I do?
Right, and you'll just lead them through. And what we do is we have people that we've trained and taught the model, and they'll just say, here, I want you to just pray this with me. Just say it just like I did. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my mom for always being angry with me and I could never understand. Could you say that prayer with me in the name of Jesus? And they'll say it. I forgive my mom. And you use their words, the words that they used when they spoke to you. I'll take notes and I'll say, this is what you said. How about we forgive with these words? And they'll agree to that and I'll lead them through it. The idea is that teach people to pray so that they can do it themselves, because they're going to have to go home and do this again and again and again. And the idea is you want to empower people to really grasp what the Lord's given to them so that they can use it in their own life and be renewed and strengthened and changed, because you're the only person that can change you.
Yeah, that's good. Going back partly to what you said the first day too, talking about the power that we have in Christ, because we're in a spiritual battle, and you kind of laid that out a little bit the first day, and that there's spiritual realities in us, and Jesus has given us spiritual power. He's won victory over those things, and sometimes we don't know how to apply his power and apply his grace that we've been given. So in some ways, Unbound helps stir up the graces of baptism and confirmation, the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, for us all to be able to take steps toward walking in greater freedom and just growing in Christ, you know, maturing in Christ and becoming stronger in the Lord. So, friends, that's for us, and that's a beautiful thing. Tune in again tomorrow with us. John will be with us again. We're going to continue to look at the rest of the keys. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new book, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.